Good morning. Welcome to Missionary Day. We're glad that you are here. Make sure you stop by over here and look at the tables, sign up for their newsletter, take their prayer cards or whatever they have available. Or whatever they have available over there. Make sure to check that out. We have a special treat this morning. I asked Ms. Carol McCutcheon if she will lead us in worship this morning from the piano. So if you have ever experienced this, it is a sweet, sweet time of being in His presence and worshiping God. So be present and let's worship together.
I'd like you to stand just for our opening hymn, 31, if you need the book so that you can sing all the verses with all your heart. Just one of the favorite hymns. Who would believe that some of this text would be straight out of the book of Lamentations, that great lament, and yet in the midst of it is the faithfulness of God and all that He does for us. So page 31, and you'll sing real mighty, and so that others around here hear and say, oh, I'm supposed to be over in the tabernacle. Provided everything. You've made that so clear in 1 Peter. Lord, I thank you that you have made provisions. And for this day, whatever we need, we thank you right now that you will be faithful to provide it. Amen. You may be sitting down. Spend these next moments now to just ponder for a moment the gifts that we all have that God has provided for us to share with others. Christian, there's a hungry world. Pass the bread, please. Christian, there's a hungry world.
All right, we're going to get the missionary team of, I say your name wrong because I don't say it the way it's supposed to, Andres, I can't get the foot, but anyways, and Bethany, that's easier, Donahue, on their way to Paraguay, and they have some exciting news. We can still partner with them. If you notice in front of you, there are some WGM envelopes that are there, and you can designate which missionary you would like to support and how much you would like to support and et cetera. All that's right there in front of you. But please, let's welcome, for the first time at Taylor County Camp, the couple. Andreas has been here before. The couple, the Donahues, going to Paraguay.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's such an honor to get to be here with you all this morning. As was mentioned, my name is Andres, and this is Bethany. And someone is not here who would love to be here. This is our son, David, and we're the Donahue family, and we're very excited to just get to share a little bit of what the Lord's been doing in our heart and how he's been leading us each step of the way towards the country of Paraguay.
Yeah, and so as we get started this morning, we're going to pass around our sign-up sheets, and the Potter's House ladies are helping us get those started. But we send out a monthly email newsletter just about how God's at work and how he's at work in Paraguay as we go there. And so if you would like to be on our communications list, we'd love to get your information here this morning. I'm going to go ahead and pray as we get started. So if you would bow your heads with me, let's go before the Lord. Gracious Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, thank you for this special place that emphasizes missions every year for a whole day as part of this camp. Lord, we're grateful that we get to be in your presence with people that love you. Lord, we're grateful that we get to spend time in your word. And so as Andres and I share this morning a bit of our story and how you're leading our family to Paraguay, I pray that what people see would not be us, but it would be you, Lord, and that you would be glorified and lifted up in this place. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Well, just to start out this morning, I wanted to give a little bit of a background of who I am. Some people might know this, but I am a missionary kid. My parents have been missionaries in South America my whole life. And actually, I remember being a little kid with them when they were here sharing about what God was doing in Bolivia and then later in Paraguay. And so ended up spending my first years in Bolivia up until my second grade year. And then there was a need for a missionary family in the neighboring country of Paraguay. And so my parents sensed that God was calling them to go to that country and say yes to him. And really at that time, that was a very difficult transition for me as a almost third grader, having to start over, make new friends, go to a new school. But looking back at that, I see just how my parents were faithful in saying yes to Jesus, even when it was a difficult decision to make. And so ended up spending most of my middle school and high school years there. And through that time, I grew to love the Paraguayan people and the culture. And ended up graduating from high school there and came to the U.S. To study at Asbury University, where I was majoring in media communication and Spanish.
And for a little background on me, I grew up in Southern California, and I loved living there. It was a great place to grow up. But when it came time to choose a college, I only looked out of state, and the Lord led me to Asbury University. And so I began studying at Asbury in 2017 and majored in Bible theology and Spanish.
So you might have noticed, but we both ended up studying Spanish, and I first met Bethany in a Spanish class. But I didn't get to know her better until we both started to be a part of the World Gospel Mission Student Center that had weekly mission services called Global Cafe. And it was during that time that we actually got to hear what the Lord was doing through around the world. Missionaries would come and share what God was doing in the country that they were serving. And it was a really good time for us. And a big part of the culture there with the students and all that was this phrase that we'd hear repeated time and time again, the phrase, yes, and. If you're unsure of what that means, the idea is that we want to say yes to Jesus in whatever the next step he has for us. But it's not just one yes that we take. It's the continual process of saying yes to Jesus and the next yes and so forth.
So as we were preparing for this morning and we were thinking about what we wanted to share, we thought about who in Scripture exemplifies a yes and lifestyle. And we thought of Abraham. And of course, I'm sure that's a story that you all are familiar with, but it's a big story spanning Genesis 11 to chapter 25. But Abraham's a shepherd, and at 75 years old, God calls him and calls him to leave everything he knows in his homeland and to go to the land that God will show him. And God makes Abraham this promise that he's going to make him into a great nation. And so Abraham obeys, and he leaves, and the Lord shows him the land of Canaan. And not long after getting there, of course, there's a famine that takes him to Egypt before he finally makes it back to Canaan, that promised land. And all the while, there's this promise in the background that God is going to make him into a great nation. And of course, the only problem is that Abraham is old and only getting older, and he doesn't have a son. And yet, God is faithful to that promise. And at 100 years old, of course, his son Isaac is born. And not long after that, God asks Abraham to sacrifice that son. Now, of course, God does not make him go through with it, but Abraham is willing. And so we see in Abraham's life this continual posture of saying yes and to the Lord in each step of obedience that he calls him to. So that's my summary of Abraham's story, but scripture also summarizes his story, and of course much better than I could. And so we want to spend some time in God's word with you in Hebrews chapter 11. This morning you'll see the references on the screen if you want to follow along in your Bible, but Andres is going to read it for us.
Yeah, so Hebrews 11, starting in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Then jumping down to verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death.
So there's just a few things that stand out to me in that passage. And the first one is in verse 8, where it says that Abraham obeyed and set out even though he did not know where he was going. See, Abraham did not know the end of his story when God called him. He didn't know how everything would turn out. He just knew that next step. And I think so often our walk with the Lord is like that. I know I want God to show me the next 10 years of my life, and he does not do that. He just gives me the next step and asks me to obey and to trust him. And but we do see also in verse 11 that it says Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And in verse 19, Abraham considered God able even to raise someone from the dead. And so God calls us sometimes to go to places where we don't know how it's going to turn out. We don't know the end of our stories. But the super important part is we do know who is the one leading us as we go. We can say yes and because Jesus goes with us. Just as God was with Abraham, we know that he's with each of us as we continue to say yes and to him.
Yeah, so we have the example of Abraham in the Old Testament saying yes to the Lord and following him in each of those steps. Mm-hmm. But in the New Testament, we also see in 1 John 2 where it talks about walking with and following in obedience to Jesus. So I want to look specifically 1 John 2, 6, where John is talking to the Christians and encouraging them not to sin, but rather to imitate the way Jesus lived in obedience to the Father. So it says in 1 John 2, 6, whoever claims to live in him, referring to God the Father, must live as Jesus did. So a yes and life means walking with Jesus and obeying him in each of the new things that he asks of us. And so me thinking of my story, when I transitioned from high school in Paraguay and going to the U.S. to study at Asbury University, I sensed that God wasn't completely done with me in Paraguay, but I didn't know in what capacity he would want to use me. And I was originally skeptical towards the idea of missions, because I didn't want to just go back to recreate what my childhood was. Mm. But I also wanted to be willing and obedient if God really was leading me down that path. And so it was during my time at Asbury that he started to use people and use some short-term trips to help direct me and show me that, yes, I do have this for you in the future.
And for me, growing up in Southern California, I had the privilege of interacting with a lot of different cultures right in my own backyard. But even further, I went to a small Christian high school, and we had a partnership with an orphanage in Tijuana, Mexico. And every year, I got to take a short-term missions trip with my Christian school. And so that was my first exposure to missions, and I'm really grateful for those experiences early on in my life. And then additionally, I know using Spanish that I studied in high school and then on into college at Asbury, I knew that language was something God could use for cross-cultural ministry down the road. But it was really through my time at the World Gospel Mission Student Center while I was at Asbury that the Lord confirmed for me that he was, in fact, calling me to missions. And I said yes to that calling my freshman year there. But even then, after saying that yes, I didn't know where that yes would take me until a bit later, and I met Andres. We started dating and having more serious conversations about a future together where we began asking the question together, could the Lord maybe have Paraguay in the future? And I've had had the privilege of traveling to Paraguay with Andres several times. And a really significant time was after we got married. We got married in November of 2021. And then that following May, we got to co-lead a team of Asbury students down to Paraguay on a short-term missions trip with the WGM Student Center. And it was on this trip that God showed us the need in the country. On that particular trip, we visited 13 different indigenous communities to share the gospel, to do evangelism and discipleship. And we visited those 13 communities in the span of just 3 days. And so that was a jam-packed trip. We were exhausted by the end of our time there. But what God did show us was that there is a great need for more workers to share the gospel in Paraguay. But even then, we didn't sense that was the timing, that the Lord was calling us particularly to participate in missions in Paraguay. We were both involved in Lexington, Kentucky in different ministry roles, and we just didn't sense that God was leading us that way yet. But fast forward about a year later, in February of 2023, we went back to Paraguay just to visit Andres' parents that still live in the capital city there. But before leaving for that family trip, a mentor encouraged us to be in prayer as we were traveling, and that we would be asking the Lord during our time there if maybe he was calling us to Paraguay as well.
So as we went on that trip, we had missions in our mind and asking the Lord for discernment. We kind of had an idea of what World Gospel Mission was involved in Paraguay, but we were open to, Lord, are there other organizations? And so we attend a Christian Missionary Alliance church in Lexington, Kentucky, and we were curious about what God was doing through the Alliance. And so we actually reached out to some missionaries that were there and asked if we could meet. And it was actually on the last day of our trip that we met with the sweet couple for breakfast and just got to ask and see how the Lord was working in Paraguay and if there was a need for more missionaries. And ultimately, the message that we got was like, yes, we need more people here. And if you sense that God is calling you here, we would love to have you be part of the team. So we went back to my parents' home. We were preparing to go on a very late night flight back to the U.S., and we received a text message from Andy Bowen, who at that time was the field director with World Gospel Mission in Paraguay, and he invited us over for dinner before we headed on back to the U.S. And so we joined them for dinner. It was a lovely time with his family, but there was a turn in the conversation, and he was like, I know you guys are back here in Paraguay. If you ever sense that God is calling you here, we really need more workers here, and we'd love to have you be part of the team. And so it was really cool just looking back and seeing how God used two different groups of people, the same exact message that the Lord was telling us. And sometimes we feel like, oh, Lord, we desire clarity, and would you just write what you want us to do in the clouds? That's kind of what it felt like. And so when we returned back to the U.S., we knew that we needed to pursue missions. And so we were like, okay, Lord, we'll start taking steps and say yes to you, and as long as you open up those doors, we'll continue to walk through them. And so that's ultimately what has led us to this place right here.
Yeah, and so we really do feel like the Lord has made it clear that Paraguay is our next step, that it's our next yes to him, is going and being a part of this work that he's doing, laboring for the harvest in Paraguay.
Yeah, and as we take this next step, I can't help but also look at the people who have come before us, who have been examples to us of a yes and lifestyle. And I think, first of all, in my personal experience, my parents, as they've been faithful in Bolivia, in Paraguay, wherever the Lord has had them, they've continued to say yes. And that's been a great example for me to continue to follow.
And I think of the WGM family. Andres was born into the WGM family. I have joined now later as we've gone through this process, but I have met so many people at WGM that have been faithful to answering God's calling and have served faithfully through the years. At the 11 o'clock hour, you're actually going to get to hear from the Strongs, and they are such a great example of that faithfulness. I can say personally that I have been blessed by them. Since we've been with WGM, we have traveled to Marion, Indiana, to WGM headquarters on a number of occasions for different trainings. And they run the Abbott Center, and we have always been welcomed with great food and hospitality. Aunt Kathleen is amazing with details, which to me, as a young mom traveling with a toddler, is an immense blessing. Uncle Dowdy is super fun. Here's a picture of him the last time we were at headquarters taking David on an ATV ride. And they just make that a really special place. And there's a lot of other WGM missionaries serving just as faithfully. And so seeing people like the Strongs continuing to be faithful to how God is calling them to serve encourages us.
Yeah, and we're excited to be joining in as a new generation of missionaries wanting to say yes and to work that God is doing around the world. And in Paraguay specifically, God is doing an exciting work in raising up the next generation of missionaries. Here's a picture of our friends and colleagues, Gabe and Diana Ernst. We're excited to be actually joining them in the new team of WGM missionaries that's specifically focused on serving unreached indigenous communities. And we'll be joining them. They just recently moved out to the small town of Naranjal on the eastern side of Paraguay, and that's where we're planning on joining them when we get to go.
So it's all about saying yes. We want to be available to say yes and to Jesus. Andres and I are not special. I think one of the reasons that the Lord had to make it so obvious, like Andre said, almost write it in the clouds for us, is he knew that saying yes to moving to Paraguay would be a hard yes for us to say. But the Lord is so gracious, and he has made it abundantly clear. But like I said, we're not special. He's got a yes for all of us. And how do we do that? Well, of course, it's by staying connected to him. We had this verse picked out before yesterday when Reverend Jay shared with us before lunch all about abiding. But this was a theme verse at WGM Student Center while we were at Asbury. And it's John 15:5, of course. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. And so the only way that fruit comes out is by staying connected to the vine. And we've talked about living this yes and lifestyle. And the way that we say yes and is we have to abide. We have to stay connected to the Lord in his word, through scripture, through prayer, through listening to the Holy Spirit and obeying.
Yeah, and we believe that everyone has a different yes to say. For us, saying yes in this season looks like moving to Paraguay. But that is not the yes for everyone here today. It might be for some, but for others, maybe saying the next yes to Jesus looks like an upcoming move or a new job or signing up to serve in your church.
And for some, maybe saying yes isn't moving to the mission field, but it might look like partnering in missions, whether that's in Paraguay or, as you'll hear a bit later this morning, in Marion, Indiana. For the ministry in Paraguay, we have a number of partnership needs. We're looking for more prayer partners. We also have a number of monthly partnership opportunities as well. And we're also looking for individuals that have a calling to come serve, that want to come down and experience ministry firsthand. So if any of those opportunities resonates with you, you can check out the resources and get connected at our table over to the side afterwards. But as we go, however the Lord is leading, as we go throughout the rest of today, Missionary Day, as we go throughout the rest of Taylor County Camp this week, our prayer is that the Lord would give us listening ears to hear what that next yes is that he has for us, and that we would respond in obedience. Thank you so much.
As you can see, they're a powerhouse couple. It's not easy to raise funds and have a newborn at the same time, and you guys just killed it. And great presentation. It's just like your seasoned vet. Why don't you come back up forward? And if you don't mind kneeling at the altar here, we'd like to spend some time praying for you. You're going to hear me say today, ask the question, where is your mission field? Where is your mission field? And if you can't really answer that question, maybe perhaps your mission field is partnering with the Donahues in Paraguay. And if that's the case, make sure you connect with them and fill out one of the envelopes. If I could get anyone else that wants to come up forward, and let's lay hands and gather around them. And I asked Lee Christ if he would lead us in prayer over the Donahues as they are down there. We'll be fine. All right, if you do choose to partner with the Strongs or with the Donahues, make sure to make the checks out to WGM, World Gospel Mission. It says on the envelope there, if you need help spelling World Gospel Mission, it's there for you. Make it out to World Gospel Mission, and Miss Winnie Carter will be taking those this morning. We have plenty more in store. You ready? No, I guess not. No, be back here at 11. We're going to hear from the Strongs at 11, and then we'll hear from both again at the 7. So there's plenty more to go. We'll see you at 11.